I know now, by now, as intelligent as you are, you have figured out that I'm using the same base scripture for the last 3 weeks and going at it from a different perspective and from different scriptures in the Bible. We're using Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through 10 as our base scripture, and we're talking about the ships of life. You do know that you ride different ships in your life because you're going different places. Today we're going to talk about the ship of life called stewardship. And we're going to try to, or we're going to, look at it from a different perspective, we hope, and getting you to see that stewardship is more than your money. I lost a bunch of you right there. It's more than your money. God wants more than your money. The money that you have is not yours, it's His. The word stewardship refers to a steward who oversees a household and property of the owner. Don't forget that word owner. You own nothing. You came here with nothing, and nothing you leave with. The Christian is a steward of God's. The Christian is chosen to oversee the church of God. God has actually chosen some persons to oversee His affairs for Him. Once God called Peter, Paul, or anybody else's name you want to put in there to preach, teach, or sing, or lead, the stewardship and the trust of doing whatever God have called him to do was given to them. Whether he or she follows through or do whatever does not matter. God won't rescind what he's done. He will not rescind. He will not take it back. So you have to do that. And the thing that I love about God, he won't stand there with you with an axe or a hammer in his hand and say, if you don't do it, I'm going to beat you upside the head. He'll just leave you alone and let you run right along, think you're doing your own thing. And then all of a sudden, there it is. You got to do what he said. There is no release from the call and duty. You will stand accountable for singing, preaching, deaconing, or teaching God's word of the gospel when you stand before God. You will be held accountable. You will be held accountable for doing or for not doing. You will be held accountable. Open your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Acts, chapter 3. And you may remain seated, and I'm going to read that for you, verses 1 through 10. Acts chapter 3. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. A certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankles received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for arm at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Verse 11, and as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. That's where we're going to come from today, from that passage of Scripture. The passage that I just read to you in your hearing is some theologians say, call this the church's first recorded miracle. Not the first miracle, the first recorded after Christ established the church and had gone back to heaven. God now was ready to reap another great harvest of souls. It was now time to attract the attention of the people. So he reached down and healed a single man, a man whom everyone knew, and filled the man full of the Holy Ghost, that he just went wild with excitement and joy. Such a miracle and behavior naturally drew the attention of the public because they were not used to him doing that. They had grown accustomed to him staying by the gate begging alms. They say in studying this, they say that the people that were asking alms, they would not look at you in the eye. They would just say alms. With the head bowed, because they felt ashamed of what they were doing. I know you've never been there because you had a silver spoon in your mouth and a gold fork, and you never did have to do anything like that. You always have been up to snuff with everything. But there are some of us that have not always been that way. Mm-hmm. Point number one, Jesus is now working through his disciples. There's one thing Jesus wants people to know, and that is that his presence and his power are still at work. Just because he's gone back to heaven, it doesn't mean his power is not here. It's still available to men. His great love and concern for the world is still being manifested through the lives of his disciples. And my question to you today, are you one of his disciples? Is his love and his care and concern being manifested to the world through you? Jesus has no feet but ours, no hands but ours, no voice but ours. So therefore, we must walk, talk, do, and tell others about Jesus. Jesus worked through those who are faithful in prayer. Peter and John were faithful prayer warriors. They were on their way to the temple at the ninth hour going to pray, which was around 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The Jews observed a real standard of prayer. They prayed at the third hour of the day, which was 9 o'clock in the morning. Then they prayed again at noontime, which is 12 o'clock in the day. Then they prayed again at the ninth hour, which is 3 o'clock in the evening, 3 p.m. They had a set scheduled time of prayer. And my question to you, brothers and sisters, help me, Holy Ghost. Dude, is the only time you pray is when you walk in the temple? Is the only time you pray is when something is going wrong? It's all right. Yeah, but you need to increase it. Nobody in here eats one little lousy meal a week. 11 o'clock Sunday morning, I might pray. If that's the only time you pray, you're weak. You are weak because you must pray all the time. You must pray without ceasing. Yeah, but bang it, I can't walk around. But everything you do, you ought to be praying and talking about Jesus. We're talking about stewardship. And I guess you see by now the stewardship that we're talking about. I told you before, it's not your money. It's your life. Your life, you need to be a steward for Christ in your life. Everything you have, everything you're going to be, you have to give it to God. Because if you don't, won't be blessed.
The very fact that Peter and John were going to the temple to pray indicates they were men of prayer. Imagine, if you will, and try it sometime and see how the devil will mess with you. Try to set up a special time that you're going to pray every day. Everything would seem to happen on that day. Amen. I got in a rut about a month and a half ago, every time I needed to go to the doctor. It was at 10 o'clock on Wednesday. 10 o'clock on Wednesday. Bible study is at 10 o'clock in the morning on Wednesday. I don't, all those other days, 10 o'clock, not 10 o'clock Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning. Went to the doctor last Wednesday. She said, 10 o'clock. I said, no, not Wednesday. I said, any day but Wednesday, I will get here. I said, but Wednesday at 10 o'clock. And that was a year in advance. I said, I ain't coming. Make change the day. Or, I said, can you put the time in the afternoon? She said, no. I said, make it on another day. It was 10 o'clock Wednesday morning in May 2014. If I'm alive, I'm going to be right over there. Because, you know, there's some more 10 o'clocks. And then there's six other days. I can't come on Sunday. But now Saturday, I'll go 10 o'clock Saturday, but not 10 o'clock Wednesday. You know, and when you set that special time and that time to be alone with God, something always seemed to come up. If you haven't tried it, try and see if it won't come up. It'll just blossom up there out of nowhere. They were on their way to the temple to pray. They had a set time to pray, and they were on their way to pray, keeping the traditions of the people of God, which was started, some said, by Abraham, some said Isaac, some said David, some said that, but it was started, and they kept it going. They prayed to God three times a day, and they were on their way to do what they were supposed to do. Three prayer sessions with God, when you can shut out the world, shut everything and everybody else out, just me and God. And if you want to have a good time, you set up a special time to meet God and you keep your end of the deal. And you can't get there and God not already be there waiting on you. You might be early to some people, but you can't be early to God. He's always there and he will be there. This was the prayer life of Peter and John. That's the reason Jesus was able to work through them in meeting the need of this man that was suffering. Jesus worked through those who looks and see the desperate needs of the suffering, both those who suffer in spirit and in body. The Bible doesn't tell us how many years this man had been sitting there needing a blessing. But it does tell us when it started. It said from his mother's womb. He had been crippled and couldn't do anything for himself. But he knew where to go. And we wonder why now people, if something get wrong with them, they always come to the church. They might not be out the door out there, but the telephone rings. There's probably not a day in the week that I'm not in there, the phone doesn't ring for somebody needing help. But sometimes I tell them, I said, can I pray for you? Then if the phone said click, and yeah, they just want, this man was suffering and he wanted help. He went to the place where help was being given out. Picture, if you can, a cripple, no family to provide for him, unable to work, helpless, having to fend for himself, being ignored, not fitting in, never being accepted. This man is the man that was placed at the gate of Beautiful. Jesus worked through those who fasten their eyes upon the needs. It is not enough just to see the desperate needs of the world. A person must stop, fasten their eyes upon the need, and then do something about the need. Peter looked and saw the man in need, and Peter would not look away. Most people did, but not Peter. Peter didn't look away because he was indwelt by the Spirit of God. The Bible said he fastened his eyes upon them. Jesus worked through those who reach out to meet the needs. It's not enough to just see the needs of the world. We must do something about it. Peter had a plan. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I to thee. And Peter gave it to him. He gave him what he had. God will not ask you to give any more than you have. Some of us look at our wallet and our visas and all that. God wants more than that. I keep trying to tell y'all, if you give God your time, he got everything else that you own. If you give him your time, he got your money. You will not give him your time because you want to keep what you think is yours. Give God. That's stewardship. Give God your time. I told y'all about me before. My wife have always tied. And she handles the funds, and so she tithed and we tithed, but my heart wasn't in it.
Yes, sir.
My heart wasn't in it. I knew it. I had been taught that from youth up, you tithe. So I did it from up here, not from in here. When my heart got right with God, God got my time first. When he got my time, he already had my money, so that's all I had. When you give God your time and let God use you with what he placed in you, every one of us got something that you ought to be steward over that God have gave you that you are not doing. I don't know what it is, but you know. And I ain't fussing. It just sounds good when I talk like that to me. God put something in you. And until you let it come out of you, you will feel as if you're not doing what you are supposed to do. Like this morning, there's some teachers in this bunch of people. I'm not talking about professional teachers, but you won't do it. Because you think you don't know how to do it. If you know how to do it, then God don't need to help you. You can do it by yourself. But you ought to step out in faith. Sister Betty been doing children's church for last umpteen years. Somebody else ought to come in there and help her because God got somebody else that can do the same thing she's doing. God will not have a church that does not have everything in it that God needs, that God's church needs. But you just won't step forward to do it because you don't think you can. You probably didn't think you could live to be as old as you are now. But God knew you were going to live that long, so he prepared you, but you won't let him bless you. When you step out in faith and do what God wants you to do, God have you to do, you become a steward. You're a steward. You're an overseer of what God placed in you, and you're not using it. Y'all can keep your money. Just give me your time. When your time comes, yeah, you'll be glad to give God that little stuff you got you call money, because he would have blessed you with so much. It's amazing to me. I'm not real good in math, but I have yet to figure out how God can take 90% or 80% and make it go farther than 100%. I've yet to figure that out. I can't figure that out. But God already got it made, figured out. The first day that I mentioned that we needed at least $600,000 for this building, if you would have been standing where I'm standing, where I was standing, and looked at all of you all that was in church that day, your eyes got that big. Because you didn't think we could do it. And I told you, we already got the money. It's just in your checking account and you won't give it to God. It's in there. We got it. In this bunch right here, we could pay this church off right now if you tithe. In a heartbeat. But you won't do it. Well, he said, I ain't talking about your money, I'm talking about your time. Give me your time. If you give God your time, you will bring the money to me. And the stewards will use it. To do what you, but you got to give God your time, and you won't give him your time. Some of us think because I show up at 11:30 Sunday morning and hope he's gone by 12:30, I've done all I'm supposed to do. That's not the way it works. You got to give God your time. Does this mean you got to show up here all the time? No, you can do the work of God away from here on your job, at your house. As much as you talk on the telephone and do, what's that, Facebook, Spacebook, or whatever, God can use that. But you know what I'm talking about. I don't have time to learn how to do it, so I just do it this way. Point number two. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. That's in verses 6 through 8. Jesus' presence and power are active upon the earth today. This is the most important thing God wants his people to know. His son, Jesus Christ, is alive. He's not dead. Having passed from the scene of world's history, his presence and power is still alive upon the earth, and will continue to be active in the lives of the true followers until he returns. When he returns, it'll be all over. This man was looking for a financial blessing, and Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And I figured out why he said Jesus Christ of Nazareth. There must have been some other Jesus Christ from somewhere else. But he said he wanted to specify who he was called. He was calling on the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Let there be no mistake. This is who I'm calling, on the name of Jesus Christ. Why? Why was it important to call on the name of Jesus Christ?